Your Central Minnesota Farm Report here on Chasm Radio, brought to you by Midsota Trailer Sales and Service. At Farm Fest this week, Stu Lorre with Minnesota Farmers Union joining us. The session may be over, but the work is not. It's still a very busy time.
That's right. You know, just looking for something to do, Joe. You know, there's not enough to pay attention to, not a lot of urgency, you know. So if you got any ideas, I'd take them.
You know, there's a lot of federal stuff that makes headlines, but it also has state implications as well, Stu.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. And, of course, a joke. I mean, we've been just going gangbusters. You know, we traveled the state this spring for our People's Town Halls that Gary, our president, led. Then I went around the state. I think I had 10 legislative recap sessions. I think maybe you were at one of them. And really just trying to share up-to-date information and get feedback from our members. I think one thing that we're facing now, we're certainly facing on the federal level, is the pace of change, right, and how fast the reconciliation package came. We were just talking about the rescissions package. It's a lot to react to and a lot to digest to try to make sure that, you know, folks have the complete understanding that they need to inform their lawmakers and engage in forums like this. And unsurprisingly, we opened Farm Fest yesterday with a panel with our congressionals where we heard some lively conversation about the implications of that package for rural America. But great to be at Farm Fest and great to be continuing our work to educate lawmakers, to make sure that policymakers are connected with the farmers for whom their decisions have consequence.
You know, budgets, I think that's the overwhelming federal and statewide, especially last state session. It was a budget year, so that was kind of the top thing on the list too. And I guess, you know, to look at a positive thing, we got an agreed-to budget to move ahead.
Oh, absolutely, Joe. And, I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, so just the challenges that your state lawmakers, you know, everyone in Minnesota, they sent the most evenly divided they could legislature mathematically possible, 200 Republicans, 201 Democrats, one-seat majority in the Senate, and an evenly tied House for the first time in 50 years. And then to make it even more difficult for them, we were facing down a significant $6 billion projected budget shortfall in the out years. So crafting a budget when we were going to be seeing belt tightening across state government, that makes those decisions all the more difficult. The big headline there, which I think we've talked about, we got a good ag bill despite cuts across many jurisdictions. The agriculture budget saw a $9 million increase in this first biennium, $3 million carrying forward into the next biennium. Not a huge amount of money, but big bang for your buck here in Minnesota when the state invests in agriculture. That's the sales pitch that we went to the legislature with. And huge props to leadership. And I think really important to acknowledge the significant role that Melissa Hortman played in leading through that incredibly challenging session. And of course, remembering her really dedicated friendship to our organization, to agriculture more broadly. She made a commitment, she honored it, and that's important to recognize the role of that political leadership, and just what a extraordinary loss for our, and a tragic loss for our state.
And you mentioned as well, just a side note to that too, I've talked to other aid groups too, and she may have been more of a metro legislator, but if there was questions and they would say, hey, is this really going to help agriculture by doing this? If we do this, is that really going to help? So stuff I really was not aware of, I did not know, but they said, yeah, there was outreach to us to confirm things if there was maybe an unknown.
Absolutely, Joel, without a doubt. And, you know, I think in my 6 years with Farmers Union, six sessions, there was not a legislative accomplishment or a budget bill that didn't have her fingerprints on it, right? Often quiet, always humble. Often behind the scenes, but engaged, informed, making sure that her caucus was making responsible decisions for the entire state. A quote I remember her saying at our convention was, you don't have to be a legislator from Greater Minnesota to be a great legislator for Greater Minnesota. And that's something that she worked to live up to in a way that she led her caucus as well. And I think you see that, I mean, just how many legislators, even from the metro, bipartisan folks, even, you know, visiting this morning, morning with legislators from across the state. I think that's really important. And they're coming here because they want to understand the industry. You know, they want to know what farmers are saying. They want to hear directly because they understand that agriculture has a significant consequence for everyone in our state.
Stu, finally, you mentioned those kind of statewide meetings you held. Was the feedback what you received, was it kind of expected, or did you hear anything outside the circle of issues talked about?
You know, it was expected. Much of it, but really, I mean, it was, you know, when we held them, some, you know, kind of short notice, and, you know, how much interest are folks going to come out? We had 600 folks come to, one of the meetings across the state, 10 meetings. That's pretty extraordinary for folks to, you know, take their evening off. I know I like my evenings, right? Folks got things to come and talk about, issues that are of consequence to their communities. I think there was a lot of concern at that time, and there continues to be a lot of uncertainty about trade, and I think the one thing I was just reflecting on that folks made, I mean, two big issues that came up were our trading relationships and really being relationships, but also how our state and our country is treating our immigrant neighbors. And I think some folks made the connection to just, you know, our leadership in the world, and other folks are watching us. America should be that a beacon of freedom and opportunity and fairness for all. And we've worked so hard as farmers. I remember one farmer standing up and saying, you know, I remember going on a trade mission when I was fresh out of tech school. I said I was, you know, they told us we were Ronald Reagan's little diplomats, you know. We were going to go out and talk about American agriculture, broker deals, and that was a soft power for the United States and how we were going to lead the world. You know, we were going to show the way, build those relationships, and they paid off over the long term. And so I think, you know, there's a lot of concern about the long term damage that undercutting those relationships in the name of short term gain could mean for our state. You know, we also heard, unsurprisingly, a lot about farm programs, farm safety net, the importance of passing a new farm bill. We've renewed conversations about that and heard a lot about the potential to finish all the unfinished business. We saw some of the financial pieces included in reconciliation. That was, of course, incomplete, right? And when are we going to catch up? And how are we going to piece back the coalition that's required for a bipartisan farm bill? A farm bill requires bipartisan votes if we're going to have any statutory changes. We need those in agriculture. So how are we going to put that together? And then we also heard, which I think, again, we've heard some about yesterday as well here at Farm Fest, but about the importance of investments in rural health care, you know, and the cuts to Medicaid on the federal level. What is that going to mean, not only for those individuals who are seeking care? And, you know, just a good reminder, I always, you know, it's just the things you take for granted, but Medicaid doesn't pay people. You know, no one gets their Medicaid check. They pay hospitals, you know, when they go to seek care. Now, hospitals in the United States, as they should be, when you come and present with, you know, an urgent issue, they have to care for you, right? Like, whether you got insurance or not, right? And so they're looking at their balance books and saying, hey, if folks roll off the rolls because we made these cuts to Medicaid via, you know, onerous, paperwork requirements, folks are going to come off the rolls. And two, we didn't reauthorize the advance premium tax credits. So premiums on the individual market for farmers and others are going to go up upwards of $170 a month, estimated by the Department of Commerce, coming up here. You know, what's that going to mean for folks keeping insurance? And then in turn, what's that going to mean for our rural hospitals? So a lot of concern there. And I guess budgets, you know, it all comes back to when the Fed's back out, the state's expected to lift up. They're not going to be able to backfill. We've heard that very clearly. They pass it on to counties. What do counties do? They go to property owners and say, hey, like, what are we going to do in property taxes? So, it all works together, particularly in that space, and important to have those conversations across government, and looking forward to more of them today here at Farm Fest and also at the State Fair and the rest of the summer, which is flying by, Joe.
You know, Stu, just a take on of that, too, when I was talking to Gary, I think, you know, myself, I take some blame, too, that I don't connect the dots when something on such a higher level takes place. And you mentioned property taxes, how that may trickle down one decision on that level. And it's good that you fill us in on that information, because there's going to be a day where farmers are going to say, hey, what's this all about, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's up to us to be informed. It can be hard to be informed. You know, some of these changes came, I mean, they were debating them literally overnight, you know, and then you had legislators after they passed it say, well, I didn't really read all, you know, like I didn't really read all of it, right? And that's unfortunate. And both sides have used reconciliation as a tool, but it's not a good way to, you know, get feedback and make sure everyone understands that you're doing and understands the consequences. So yeah, it's important to have those conversations, and hopefully there's some of that here today. I think that's one, you know, good thing that agriculture does is bring folks together, you know, state, federal, bipartisan, coming for important conversations to, you know, figure out how we can move forward together.
Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning, brought to you by Minnesota Trailer Sales and Service. Stu Laurie, Government Relations Director with the Minnesota Farmers Union, joining us this past week at the 2025 Farm Fest. For CASM Radio, I'm Farm Director Joe Gill.